So at Holiday Bible Fun, over these last few days, a number of you saw how Jesus helped the helpless. Only Jesus saves. He's the only one who could help the lame beggar. Saw how Jesus died, that even outsiders, those who weren't originally Jews, but those from different countries like Ethiopia, can also be close to God and friends with him. Saw how Jesus made his enemies, those who hated him and were killing his people, his friends. As you saw how Paul was saved. And I think sometimes it's really nice to hear those stories, isn't it? And we think, wow, that's amazing. Can't believe that Jesus was doing that. And we think, gosh, that's a really good story. And we get really excited and encouraged by it. But I think sometimes we miss that actually Jesus tells us those stories because Jesus doesn't just want to save the lame beggar. He doesn't just want to save the Ethiopian. He doesn't just want to save Paul. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. So here's my question this morning for you. Are you convinced that Jesus wants to save you? However young you are, however old you are, are you convinced that you need Jesus to save you? That you need your own personal friendship, relationship with him? So that's my first thing. Here we go. This is where we're going first of all. You need to be saved. I want you to note the very first words we hear the jailer speak. Can anyone see them in verse 30? Anyone want to shout them out? The very first words that we hear the jailer say. Verse 30. Go on, Oakley. Brilliant. What must I do to be saved? It's the very first words we hear the jailer say. What must I do to be saved? He doesn't say, not what must others do. He doesn't say, what must my family do? He says, what must I do to be saved? Me, personally. And what's brought him to this point? I mean, after all, he would have been a successful soldier. He was the chief jailer in this very important city. He was well-respected, well-liked. He was probably feared even. He probably had a pretty good life. I mean, there's nothing that he was particularly afraid of. After all, he was a soldier, a successful soldier, now looking after the jail. And yet here he is, trembling, we're told, before Paul and Silas, asking, what must I do to be saved? And of course, in order to be saved, in order to be rescued, there must be something to be saved from, rescued from. There must be some danger to be rescued from, mustn't there? I mean, if I was about to fall off this stage, you might save me, well, by saying, Mark, stop! And you'd have saved me. But there was a danger, wasn't there? So what's this man wanting to be saved from? Well, let's have a look at the story. Have a look at me in the story. Paul and Silas, verse 16. They're going to pray. And they meet a female slave girl who has an evil spirit within her. This evil spirit allows her to predict the future. So she can tell what's going to happen in the future. And it earns her owners, because she's a slave, a great deal of money, we're told. And as Paul and Silas are walking by, thinking about who they're going to tell about Jesus that day, she starts to follow them everywhere. And I mean everywhere, day after day. And she keeps shouting whenever anyone else comes near. She keeps shouting, these guys are God's slaves. They want to tell you how to be saved. And Paul, after a while, gets a little bit annoyed by this. Now, he's not annoyed because she's bugging him. You know, like your brother or your sister bug you. He's not annoyed because of that. He's annoyed because everyone knows that she has an evil spirit within her, and her saying, they're from God and will tell you how to be saved, well, that might confuse people. Because are they really of God, or are they like her with evil spirits in her? And so Paul stops her, and he commands the evil spirit to leave. In the name of Jesus, leave her alone. And just like that, she did. The spirit went. Now, for the slave girl, this is really, really good news. It's the best news ever. But if you're her boss, and suddenly she can't tell fortunes anymore and get you money, then you are not pleased. And they weren't. So they grab Paul and Silas, and they take them to the city leader, and they start to speak lies about them. And they say, these men are ruining everything. They're Jews. They're telling people to do the very un-Roman things. And the crowds join in, and they're all crushing in closer and closer to Paul and Silas. And the leaders don't stop them. In fact, the leaders egg the crowd on. And then the leaders order Paul and Silas to be stripped naked. And you can imagine Paul and Silas, you know, no, no, don't. And they rip everything off, even their pants. And they're naked. And then they're dragged away. And they're beaten with sticks. And they're flogged. And they're thrown into prison. And our friend the jailer, he puts them in the darkest, deepest part of the prison. He puts their feet in stocks like that. It's really uncomfortable. They couldn't sleep and they couldn't rest and they couldn't escape. Do you know what Paul and Silas did? They prayed and they sang hymns to God. They were really joyful, even though they were sitting like that with chains around them. And then the ground shook. I mean, it really, really shook. And there was this super loud crack. And every single door in the prison flew wide open. And Paul and Silas, the stocks came off. Their chains fell to the ground. And our friend, the jailer, he woke up. He realized all the doors were open. And he was about to kill himself because he thought, oh no, I've failed. I'm going to be in real trouble now because all the prisoners have gone. I'm going to be in so much trouble. I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to kill myself. And Paul shouts, no. We're all here. And with that, the jailer utters his first words. What must I do to be saved? Because this man, this jailer, has seen he needs to be saved before a powerful, mighty God. This man has seen a slave girl who had an evil spirit removed from her in the name of Jesus. The men who had done it were stripped naked and beaten and thrown into jail. But instead of crying or getting angry, there they are praying and praising the Lord Jesus. Then an earthquake happens and opens all the doors, but these men don't run. But rather they seek to help this jailer. And this jailer at this point realizes that the one these men pray to and sing hymns to, it's not like any of the gods he worships or his friends worship. This God is the one true God. This God, the Lord Jesus, saves people from evil spirits. He strengthens his servants in jail that they can sing. He sets them free from their chains. And this Jesus is concerned with him. Such that the servants of the Lord Jesus, Paul and Silas, rescue him from death. Oh, the jailer sees Jesus is the one only true God. Jesus is the one who is all powerful. I mean, if Jesus can cause an earthquake, he must be the creator, the maker of all things. I mean, no wonder the jailer falls down trembling because he realizes before this God, the Lord Jesus, he's in trouble. He's a sinner. Because he's not worshipped Jesus. He's not even acknowledged Jesus before. And now he's witnessed just who Jesus is. And he says, what must I do to be safe? What must I do to be right with this Jesus? Because if he is God and I'm not acknowledging him as such, if I'm not living as if that is true, and the Bible says that's sin, and God's punishment for that sin is to face his anger, his judgment, and to not live with him when he dies. And somehow the jailer has grasped all of that. As he's seen the followers of Jesus. and the outworkings of following Jesus in the lives of Paul and Silas. And he's seen how serious a thing it is to not live as if Jesus is God, the King. And so he says, what must I do to be saved? To be saved from God's anger at my sin. Now here's the thing. I imagine many of you here this morning know that to be the case. Much of that's not new to you. You know, we know that if we don't follow Jesus or love Jesus, or trust in Jesus to take our punishment for us, then we're going to face God's judgment, his anger. We won't be with him when we die. But at the same time, I wonder whether we're asking the question, what must I do to be saved? That the truth is, we've not actually ever asked Jesus to save us. We've not actually ever thought, actually, I need to be saved. I need, like the jailer, I've seen everything. I understand everything. I've learned it. I've always known it to be true. But I've never actually asked Jesus to save me. And I think there's a number of reasons why we do that. I need five volunteers. Whoa. One, a two, a three. Two more. Four. One more. Blake, you going to come up? Come on, stand up on stage. Come on, stand. Lovely, bubbly, jubbly. I just need you to stand in a nice line. Thank you very much. Come up here, Blake. Good man. I know. Face that way. Lovely, 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 bubbly. Okay, now I've got a number of reasons here, I think, why people don't actually ask the question, why I need to be saved. They might know it all, but then they think, well, I wonder if it goes something like this. Maybe these are some of the reasons that you have. Could you hold that for me, Sir Harry? I go to church and I have a Christian family. So I don't need to be saved. I mean, I go to church every week and my mum and dad are Christians and I don't need to ask Jesus. What do you think? Do you think you do need to ask Jesus or not? Yes? No? Hands up if you think yes, you do need to ask Jesus to be saved. It doesn't matter. Exactly. You need to ask Jesus to save you. It doesn't matter whether your parents go to church. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in a Christian family. You need to ask Jesus to save you. What about this one? What's this one say? It says, I am a good person who does lots of good things. Some people think that, don't they? They think, actually, do you know what? I'm a really good person. I'm really kind. I'm really generous. I love my brother. I love my sister really well. I'm really kind to them. Most of the time, anyway. I'm a good person. We're just going to hold it. Good man. There we go. This way. That's it. Hold it there. Nice and tight. Everyone's reading it right now. Brilliant. Now, but the thing is, you can't do that many good things to get yourself into heaven. Because it doesn't matter if you've done lots and lots of good things. If you're not perfect, you need Jesus to save you, don't you? What about this one? I'm not a sinner, I'm 10 years old. What have I ever done wrong? And people think, well, actually, you know, I'm only 10, I've not really done that much wrong, I'm not really that bad, surely Jesus would love me, let me in. What do you reckon? Do you need to ask Jesus to save you? There's lots of nods. Hands up if you think you need to ask Jesus to save you. Brilliant, you do. Excellent. Here's another one. This is at the other end. I'm too old. I've done so many things wrong. Jesus will never forgive me. Well, look, you might have done lots and lots of things wrong, but Jesus will forgive you. Do you need to ask Jesus to save you? Yeah. There we are. We're getting better at this now. Okay, here's the last one. Blake, you've got the big one. Hold it up, big and strong. Good man. Here's one I hear often. When talking to young people particularly, it goes something like this. I know who Jesus is and I believe, but it seems to be more fun to not be a Christian. Can't I just become a Christian just before I die? Have you ever heard that? Anyone ever said that to you? Hands up if anyone's ever said that to you or maybe you even thought it. Don't put your hands up at that point. Now, I want to say that this reason is lots of good in it. It acknowledges that we need to be saved, that Jesus needs to save me, that I am a sinner who has rejected Jesus, that I've not lived as I should. It recognizes I'm going to stand before God, but I think this reason fails to see how Jesus saves me now. So we have to recognize sin brings pleasure. That at times sin does look fun and is fun. I mean, why else would we be attracted to it? But it also brings consequences. So I feel guilty. I feel bad. I might feel sad that I've done wrong. It breaks my relationship with God. And depending on the sin, it can bring immediate damage. Broken relationships with family, like lies and disobedience and trouble, maybe even with the police or with the school. It can even lead me to be anxious, depressed, or sad. It can even damage my body. And yet Jesus is saying, for those who recognize their need to be saved, he's not just saved them from God's anger in the future. He's saved them from the effects of sin now. Why don't you guys go and sit down? Thanks, you've done a great job. Thanks very much. Good job, guys. Excellent. Thank you. I think that's one that's a really big question at the end. See, he does save us from the effects of sin now. And he does so by helping us to not want to sin, to start doing what pleases him so that we don't have to sin and so we don't have to endure the consequences of our sin, but rather live how he wants, which is the best way to live as we were made to live. And as I live in this life, look, trouble will come. Jesus says, it will, I will get ill. People might say unkind things to me, but by following him, he saves me from the worry of that. He saves me from the fear of death. He saves me from the fear of what an illness can bring. He saves me from worrying about the future. I never have to be on my own. He's always with me. He always loves me. I'm never unloved. He's always doing what is best for me. Why would you not want to live that way? See, here's the truth that's not often said. It's more fun to live for Jesus than to not live for Jesus. It's more challenging. It's more trusting. It's more exciting. You don't know where Jesus might lead you, but we can trust that he's good. It's more fun to live as you were made. It's more fun to live this way. See, Jesus enables me to live the best life the way I was made to. And P.S., how do you know when you're going to die? So how will you know when to ask to be saved at the right moment before you die? Do you recognize that you need to be saved today? The question is, how can I be saved? What do I need to do? Well, we're going to sing, and then we're going to spend just literally a few minutes after that thinking about how we're saved and what we do next. So let's sing, Who Alone Can Save. Do be seated. So we're going to just spend just a few minutes now. We've thought about that actually you need to be saved. We've thought about some of the reasons why we think we might not need to be saved, but we discovered that we do actually need to be saved. And now we want to recognize how we're saved. See, look what Paul and Silas say to the jailer in response to his question. What do they say? Verse 31. Can someone tell me? What do they say? Verse 31. Nudge your parents. Look in the Bible, Acts 16, verse 31. Page 1111. 12 now. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. Now, I imagine that they then told him what it meant to believe in the Lord Jesus. They then told him what Jesus did for him. So I'm going to tell you what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus. And it's really simple. Where's my two friends? Come on up. Josh and Oliver, come on up. Here we have my two volunteers. Can you see this? Do you see what it says on Josh's t-shirt? You read it? Sin. Here is us, sinners, those who have chosen to reject Jesus, to not worship him, to not follow him, to do what we want. That's what it says right at the bottom. It says, not loving Jesus as number one, rejects him. Then it says we lie and we've got greed and we're unkind and we're selfish, we're sinners. And all of us, from the youngest here to the oldest here, is just that. All of us have rejected Jesus as number one. And yet here's Jesus, perfect, no sin, white. And you know what happens? On the cross, Jesus swaps. He takes our place. Do you want to swap t-shirts, guys? It's all right. No worries. Brilliant. On the cross, Jesus takes our place. He takes our sin. And Jesus dies to take the punishment that was ours. For our sin, for our rejection of God. He takes God's anger at our sin. He had no sin. But now he has all of our sin. And he takes God's punishment. And look what he gives us. He gives us his right and perfect life. And so that now, when God looks at me, he doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as one who's perfect like Jesus. And now I'm safe from his judgment and his anger. Jesus saves me. He takes my place and gives me his right and perfect life. He saves. But believing in Jesus is not just to ask that he would save you, but that he would then be in charge of you. That you'd want to follow him. You'd want to live with him in charge. Recognizing that following him is the best way to live. See, if you've recognized you need to be saved, and you know how you're saved, by believing in Jesus' death on the cross, and you know that you need to follow him, then the question is, will you respond by asking Jesus to save you today? Go and sit down, guys. Thanks very much. Will you respond by asking Jesus to save you today? However young you are, however old you are, why put it off? Why not, like the jailer who came to see who Jesus was, who came to see that he needed to be saved, and he heard how. And look what he did, verse 34. Look what we read in verse 34. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He'd been saved. Jesus is now in charge of him. He was joyful because of it. And in fact, it turns out that everyone in his family was saved, not because he believed, but because they believed as well. They'd seen Jesus' work in him. So here's the question, will you believe? Will you respond to Jesus to save you today? Will you start following him today with him in charge? And all you need to do is believe in the Lord and ask him to save you. So I'm going to say in a minute a simple prayer. And if you want to follow Jesus, if you want Jesus to save you, not your parents, not your friends, save you, then all you need to do in the quietness of your heart is pray that prayer with me. Now it may be that you still have questions, that's okay. I want to encourage you to ask them. If you're young, ask your parents or ask your youth leader or your Sunday school teacher. Ask your questions to them. If you're an adult, come and ask me. Ask a friend. Come along one of our many courses, Christianity Explored, Life Explored, where you have the opportunity to ask your questions. But ask them. Ask yourself, what must I do today to be saved? For some of you, that will mean asking questions, finding out more information. Come and ask me. Children, you can ask me. But for others of you, it will mean praying and asking Jesus to save you today. So here's the prayer that I'm going to pray in just a moment so you can see what it says. It's on the back of your bulletin as well. And in a minute I'm going to pray, but I just want to read it through first so you understand what you're going to pray if you want to follow Jesus today. He says, "Dear God, I'm sorry that I've not lived in a way that pleases you. I'm sorry that I have ignored you. I'm sorry that I've lived as if I was in charge and not you. Please forgive me." So we're asking God, we're saying sorry first to God, and asking him to forgive us. And then we're thanking him for sending Jesus to die for us, to take my place that I may be forgiven, that I may be saved. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus in charge of me. And amen. So in a minute, I'm going to pray that prayer. And if you pray that prayer, then Jesus has saved you this morning. So let's pray together. Why don't everyone close their eyes? And for those who want to, the words are on the screen. You can say it just after me. I'll just pause and then you can respond afterwards in the quietness of your heart. I'll give a little pause at the end of each sentence to allow you to do that. Dear God, I'm sorry that I've not lived in a way that pleases you. I'm sorry that I have ignored you. I am sorry that I've lived as if I was in charge and not you. Please forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, to take my place, that I might be forgiven, that I may be saved. Thank you that Jesus rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus in charge of me. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, then Jesus has saved you. And now you need to begin as you have prayed, allowing Jesus to be in charge of you. And this will be a lifetime of learning what that will mean. But it will start with getting rid of the old rebellious ways like greed and anger and selfishness, and start putting on that which pleases God, kindness and patience and generosity and love. And we discover more of this as we read our Bibles, as we come to church. But if you've taken that step this morning, then please do tell someone. Come and tell me. If you're a child, tell your parent. But please don't leave here without doing so. And I have a free gift that I'd like to give you that will help you as you begin. If you're an adult, I have this one, "From Now On, First Steps for New Christians." Come and get it from me. Just ask me for it. Or for a child, I have, "How Do I Know I'm a Christian?" Just some little literature just to help you to read through and to know what it is to begin to start following Jesus now that he has saved you.